Hello and welcome to the Mixed Era Rap Podcast. I'm your host, DJ B Wise. This is a podcast where we talk about hip hop from boom bap to trap. We're a group of hip hop enthusiasts from multiple eras trying to bridge the gap in hip hop. My co-hosts are Kev and JB, the JJB. All right, party people, we in the building tonight. We coming at you with our top five hip hop beats of all time. We're gonna get it in real quick with our my co-host, and then we're gonna give our social media shouts, and we're gonna get right to it. JB, how you doing tonight?
Man, I'm doing well, man. How you doing?
Killing it, man. Killing it. Kev, how you doing?
Excited for another episode that we're about to give the people.
That's what's up. All right, so you guys can follow us on social media. You can follow us on Twitter at Mixed Era Rap and a podcast. And again, you can follow us on Instagram at Mixed Era Rap Pod. And we are now on TikTok. You can follow us at Mixed Era Rap Podcast. All right, fellas, I'm going to jump into this right away. Top five hip hop beats, right? So we're going to do it a little looser than we normally do. We're not going to put as many restrictions on it. I want to have fun, but I know we are going to get into some debate at some point. So you're allowed in your top five to have ties, but we're not going to do honorable mentions. We're going to go through our five with ties and whatever we have with that, and then we're going to bring up our honorable mentions after we finish our top five. Is that cool?
All right. Got it.
All right, so we're going to start with the youngest in charge. JB, your top five hip-hop beats.
Sheesh. All right, so at the bottom, I have Kanye West and Pusha T, Runaway. That's at the bottom for me. Above that, I have Missy Elliott, Work It. And then at three, I have Pete Rock and CL Smooth. They Reminisce Over You. Above that, I have Hypnotized by Notorious B.I.G. And my number one personal is DMX, How's It Going Down?
No ties, my man. All right. That's what's up. All right, so I'm gonna jump in because we gotta let the professor go last tonight. So I'm gonna jump in with mine, and I'm starting off at the five position with one that really means a lot to me because you know I'm a ladies' man, and that is "I'll Be There for You" by our man Method Man featuring Mary J. And then in my fourth slot, I got a tie with Special Ed, I Got It Made, and 50 Cent in the Club. Now, my number three is my main man, Tupac, with California Love, right? And then my number two is Check the Rhyme by A Tribe Called Quest. And then I have a tie at number one with Sucker MCs by Run DMC, and I Ain't No Joke by Eric B and Rakim. All right, Kev, hold us down. What you got?
This was a tough one. It was so tough that I couldn't rank them.
Okay.
It was tough for me, so I couldn't rank them. I'm just gonna give you the five I picked, which was put in categories. So the first one I'm going to give you is Dougie Fresh in the Show, because I think it's just the all-time party classic. Another like nice, smooth, relaxing song that's I think that's has become timeless is Tribe Called Quest, Electric Relaxation. A song that doesn't get enough credit, but I think that, you know, when you hear it, you realize how great of an MC he actually is Mos Def, Brown Sugar from the Brown Sugar soundtrack.
Okay.
My number four, I got to go with one of my favorite songs from one of the greatest albums ever made is Jay-Z's You Don't Know. And my last, this is a top five beat. I'll put this in the top five all hip hop beats ever. De La Soul, Stakes Is High.
Sheesh. That's fire. That's fire.
All right. So see what I take from that, party people, is that Kev went heavy on the B sides. I went heavy on the A sides.
And what you mean B sides?
Oh, come on now. Yeah, Stakes Is High.
It's a legal
of De La Soul. You gonna tell me Stakes Is High is the their best beat for hip hop?
Like what?
Yes, that sample was crazy.
Stakes Is High.
That sample is crazy.
Yeah,
it is.
That sample,
but
it's not crazy.
But it's not 3 feet high and rising. Yeah. It's just not. It's just not.
It's their best beat.
I know. That's why I said I'm giving you love for that. I'm just saying that, you know, it's all about where you come from at this. You know how you attack.
B-sides though. B-sides are like the other side of the album. Not these all front side album songs.
No doubt. Well, wait a minute. Was that Jay-Z is a front side song? Maybe. That's not a. That's not. Let me change B-side. My apologies, fans, audience. Let me not say B-sides. Deep cuts. How about that? The deep cuts. That's better. So we'll use that verbiage.
I'm just saying.
Yeah, Kev, the professor went in with the deep cuts. What you think, Jay?
Listen, man, I think it's a solid list, but you know, verbiage or not, B-side or a deep cut. Check the Rhyme is an amazing song, but Me, Myself, and I just goes crazy. If you're gonna put electric relaxation for the purpose of its popularity and then like Me, Myself, and I, is that beat is crazy. No, that beat is crazy.
Man, just the beginning of it. Just the beginning of it.
That's facts. I check the Rhyme. I mean, listen, I'm with you.
No, the beat is hard. Don't get me wrong. That Stakes Is High beat is crazy hard. So that's why I wanted us to get our top five out of the way. We can argue about it or discuss it a little bit. But then I wanted us to have a little bit more fun and name some more beats that we really enjoyed throughout the history. Because I would like to bring up some younger beats that couldn't make my top five, but would make my list of favorites, right? So I was wondering if anybody, it looked like my list got some love. So I was thinking that my list would get a little knock, being that I went almost all in the same era.
Well, I was surprised because you got 50 Cent in the club. Like you got 50 Cent in the club. And I was like, okay, all right. I respect
that's the DJ in him though.
That's true. That's true.
That's the DJ in him.
Yeah, that's what's up.
It's a good party song, but just like, you know, like overall,
I feel like that was more 50 than the beat itself. Even though I'm not taking anything away from, I believe Dr. Dre, but because I had the debate recently about the quote unquote best beat of all time in Mobb Deep and Alchemist. Shook Ones Part 2, and it's just like, wow, that overall song and beat it in and of itself has had commercial success throughout movies and what have you. I feel as though Mobb Deep made that beat greater than what it was.
Okay,
mm-hmm.
I'm glad you said that, because right. I'm going to say something that no one else is going to say. That's not even the best beat on the album.
Facts.
That's crazy.
It's not even the second best song on the album.
Well, you're pushing.
Because on a lot of lists, though, Kev, Shook Ones, if you go on the internet and Google best hip-hop beats, Shook Ones is like in the top three on most sites.
It's not even the best beat on the album. It's not the best beat. It's not the best song on the album.
That's what I'm talking about. That's the professor. Y'all better listen. Yeah.
No one else is going to say it, though.
Yeah. All right. So we've had our discussion on our top five. Now we're going to carry on the discussion with just bringing up beats that matter, you know? And I'd like to start this off with, you know, something a little bit younger and even surprising for my co-host. I'd like to talk about Amelie, you know? I thought Amelie was definitely one of the hardest hip hop beats, you know, that I, you know, that I can think of in his time frame.
Facts.
No.
No.
Amelie. No. Time out.
Reaction, but just like is it a good song? Yes, but like just the beat itself.
We have
the beat is hard.
There's a way to quantify quality here, and I've masterminded the equation of rapper to producer ratio.
Okay,
where does the credit lean more when we talk about these beats?
Who produced that song?
I don't know if it was Static Reader. What's old boy? Yeah, Static.
If Static would have did it, it'd have been a better song. It'd have been a better beat.
Hold on, I'm gonna tell you right now.
Y'all go ahead and talk. I'm looking it up as we speak.
Oh shoot, I was looking it up too. producer Chandre, Mr. Bangladesh Crawford. Mr. Bangladesh.
Yeah, I'm not familiar with him. See it now, Mr. Bangladesh.
I'm not too familiar. But back to assessing the equation of rapper to producer ratio, because it's an important analysis here. I would say while Amelie is a good beat, what Lil Wayne did to that beat is better than what the beat is. It's I've never heard Amelie the beat played without Lil Wayne's verse.
But that's
why I it's a good beat, but it's like it's not that great.
That's what I'm saying.
No. Now there's been some artists who have done freestyles over Amelie
because of what Lil Wayne did.
But I think it's because the beat is that hard, fellas. I really believe.
Give you an example of a hard beat. What is it? Bun B and Pimp C. He dropped it as soon as he got out of jail.
UGK.
It's UGK beat. Get Throwed. I recently seen Guap Dad 3000 rap over that. Like it was like some end of the year freestyle, which was, in my personal opinion, you know, respect to the artistry and all, was trash. It's like, I feel like if you're going to get on one of those classic beats, you got to rip it. You got to go hard. Like, you can't come soft with this week's stuff. I just feel like Get Throwed by Bun B, Pimp C, and Jeezy is one of the greatest Dirty South beats of all time. And I really can't name you one that might be better than that.
Oh, I can give you one better than that. Soul Food.
Oh. Well, I said, beat. Hold on. I said Dirty South. I didn't say South. You got to
eat. Dirty South is Atlanta. Atlanta is Soul Food.
Soul Food. I thought those guys were from North Carolina.
No. Are you talking about?
I'm thinking about Big Brother. I'm thinking about Big Brother.
Yeah. No. Dirty South.
Or Little Brother.
Yeah.
I'm talking about that soul food.
Yeah. Oh, okay. You talking about Big Gip. You talking about, you know, that's the Dungeon Family, baby.
Yeah.
Atlanta's finest. Yeah. So, yeah, I mean, I'm not taking away anything from Get Throwed. I'm just saying, when you're talking about Dirty South beats, you know, I'm going to go with Soul Food. And then I know it's commercial, but the beat, Back That Ass Up. The beat on Back That Ass Up is so legit.
I stand corrected.
Manny Fresh, baby. Manny Fresh. Manny Fresh.
I stand corrected because that beat goes crazy.
Yes.
Like the first 2 seconds of that beat. Whoa, hold on. We're missing one here. Nuck If You Buck.
Yes, I will put Nuck of You Buck. That would be it would be my third one, and I would not put Soul Food at one. I put Soul Food at two. Back that ass up at one. That's mine. Now you guys can do what you want, but Nuck of You Buck, that beat, if I play it in the club, if people are sitting down, they gonna get up.
But is it the beat or is it the song? Just like he was saying about a Millie. Is it because of
you took that beat went hard. That beat went hard.
I think it's the beat. I think it's the beat on
Nuck. What about the Luciano track? You know
what I'm saying? Oh, no, we going backpack, yeah, baby. Now, we going backpack. And Luciano is definitely the one. That's the one. Yeah. You know, we going backpack. Then I also got to throw in, Passing Me By.
Damn.
The Luciano and the Passing Me By, those two are the hardest backpack rap beats there is.
Yeah. Dang, it's so. Listen. We could do this all day long when it comes.
But that's the beauty of this.
Are we saying just the song, the vibe, and the lyrics, or we're just saying that the beat itself? Because some of these songs could the beat just stand alone by itself?
So the way I measured my picks. As a DJ, I'm going by the songs that I know people are going to get on the floor to.
But that is a lot of subpar songs.
But hold on, time out. But also impact, though. It's some major impact behind these beats. Like, when you think about what gets the people moving, what people appreciate about, the songs themselves is their recognition with the beat. Like,
exactly.
Like, the beat itself is just like, this goes hard. But I'll be honest with you, I would like to say that some beats can be overlooked by the talent of certain artists, but there are certain beats that are just overshadow the artists as well. And then we also have a balance in certain equations. But of the beats named, I can't really tell you that they are not top tier.
And I would even say not that they outdo the actual rap, but they actually define the artist. That the songs I'm choosing actually define the artist. I would even tell you that N Words in Paris is a hard beat, and that if I'm in the club and I play that song, I don't even have to play the words. I can keep looping the intro, and people will dance. That's how hard the beat is.
And it's the cultural expression associated to the music as well. Like the culture.
But that's what I'm saying, though. Significance. Like, by the fact we didn't put a criteria on this, I think that it leaves the debate wide open because you can go so many different ways. Just like you're saying Dirty South. It's like, what's Dirty South? And then it's like, Nuck of You Buck, I think it has I think the rhythms of the song is great, but I don't know. But I don't know if it was just like that much of a beat. It just felt like a basic beat to me, though. But I think
I feel what you're saying.
The rhythm of the song and them rapping and then their lyrics.
Yeah, because
I think that's what makes the song. They blend together, but. Could you play Nuck of if you played that Nuck of You Buck beat without the lyrics, and you never knew the lyrics, you'll be I don't know if you would feel the same way.
In my head,
Can I play the hook?
But you already heard the lyrics though.
Exactly. I can't think of the beat. I can't think of the beat right now. I can just think of the song. So I would take Nuck of You Buck off. I agree with you.
Nuck of You Buck is a very basic beat.
Nuck of You Buck is like a pre-recorded. I'm gonna bet you that's a whole pre-recorded beat.
No, but you know what?
Pre-recorded keyboard beats. I'm gonna bet you one of those.
Staying in the crime mob area though, a little scrappy. Problems. Now that beat went hard.
Was it the beat or was it him?
It was the theme. That piano. That piano was crazy.
The piano is crazy, but that alone, I can tell you, does not get people up.
Well,
now, once the beat starts and Lil Scrappy starts, then people will start walking to the floor. But like, so let's go
from the perspective.
Let's do a baseline. The baseline is the violins on Back That Ass Up, right? It's not the beat first. You're hearing the violins. Same thing with the Lil Scrappy song. I'm telling you, as soon as the violins hit on Back That Ass Up, people are getting up. I can't say the same thing for the Lil Scrappy song.
But then we also, I get the aspect of, okay, the cultural appreciation, but there's also the artistic innovation of the beat itself.
What song?
I'm not saying specifically. I'm saying in general, when we look at beats that are great, like there are beats that artistically innovate so great, but they don't necessarily get as much cultural reaction from certain individuals. Now, most beats that are worthy of speaking about that have this this innovation to it do also get that appreciation, but maybe not on the dance floor. Like N Words in Paris, I don't think I even know how to dance to that, but that is a fantastic beat. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Every good song is not a club beat. I mean, like,
you got
songs that you only can play on the radio. That's only going to be good on the radio. Sound good on the radio. You got songs that's only going to sound good in clubs. Only going to sound good in your car. Only going to sound good in your house.
And I was just getting ready to say that about the Lil Scrappy song, is that joint hits hard in a car. So I'm not dissing it. I'm just saying there may be some things that more culturally accepted or culturally higher. I'm not knocking the song. I'm just saying that joint definitely hits hard in a car. But there's just certain songs that, you know, no matter where you are, I don't care if you car, school, picnic, family reunion, wedding, they just hit. And Shook Ones, even though it's not a really crazy danceable song, it will still get people up to moving. Yeah. It's not a crazy danceable song, but Shook Ones, I've been in many places. I play Shook One at family reunions. I play Shook One at class reunions. It's a winner, even though it's not a danceable song.
Yeah. And I think we nutshelled this particular topic quite well. But in transitioning, because I think it's a great transition point to talk about a current event relative to music. So
here comes the bomb.
Flex bomb.
We're bringing the bomb.
Flex bomb.
So recently on an upcoming podcast, it's been out for quite some time. I quite personally enjoy it. There was a comment made by Mos Def, and I watched the entirety of the podcast, so I'm not just reacting to, what the media is posting. The podcast, by the way, is The Cutting Room Floor, which is a fantastic podcast. I love what that woman does. She's fantastic. But Mos Def recently talked about how Drake is pop to him, and that essentially he's not in the spectrum of hip hop. Now, along the sequence of this podcast and interview, they also addressed the difference between what real hip hop is and entertainment, right? There's rap being, and there's hip hop. And Mos Def explains further into saying that hip hop is something that provides you something of substance and something that you can carry, whereas though entertainment just gives you this, how they say, consumer packaged good. And so I just want to know your all's thoughts on that, because obviously the Drake mob is upset and calling him an old jealous man because he didn't have he doesn't have the money that Drake has, even though he doesn't have to work another job in his life off the music he already has out, and he's doing a show of MF Doom's music in France in a few weeks.
Yep.
So I just want to
let's say this.
Mm-hmm.
Drake would want to be pop. Drake probably loves being considered pop because there's a difference between rap money and pop money.
Facts.
You don't hear no one saying, why Taylor Swift don't do country no more? Because she's a pop star and she could care less about country music. Right. Not to throw shots at anybody like that, though, but there is a huge difference in popularity, money, status, and everything when you become a quote-unquote pop star. So saying Drake is a pop star is an honor. And that's just saying that Drake has reached a plateau that, I mean, to be honest, not a lot of people have been on that level.
Yeah.
So for anybody that want to criticize him, you can say whatever you want, but facts are facts that Drake is a pop star. So when you become a pop star, whatever genre you started in, that's over.
Yeah, because nobody had the large debate about Michael Jackson being R&B. No, he was a pop artist. You know what I'm saying?
He's a pop artist.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, I think that a lot of things with the Hip Hop 50 so many things was missing. And I think that a lot of the history, a lot of the explanations about the transitioning from the beginning to the current. And I don't think that enough younger people reached back, and I don't think a lot of the olders reached forward. Mm-hmm. So there was this gap created, and that's why, you know, for most deaf, he didn't really say he didn't say anything wrong, he didn't say anything bad, but it's just people's, you know, lack of understanding for those who felt like he said something wrong, because like I said, Drake, everybody wants to be a pop star. I don't care if you can rap your ass off. If they say you're a pop star, boom. It just goes up. You get commercials, you on TV shows. I mean, you get magazine covers, you get interviews, Good Morning America, and I mean, like, you're all over the place. Like, you think about Drake 10 years ago and Drake now, Drake is all huge. Don't get me wrong. Drake sells out concerts, but like, what? I'm going to bet you 10, 15 years ago, he was doing 10,000 seat arenas. Now he's doing what? 40, 50,000 seat arenas? Yeah.
So what about you, B-Wise? Where are you at with that?
You know, you guys, I wanted you guys to put yourselves out there on that first, because you guys know that I believe there should be different genres or a different something, categories. Because hip hop and rap is two different things. I think there's certain artists who stick to the form of hip hop. I think there's rappers, and I think Drake is pop. And there's nothing wrong with him being pop. I think even by when you bring up Michael Jackson, let's go back to the 80s, right? Let's go back to Thriller album. Thriller is pop, right? The Spinners had an album that year. That's R&B, right? Very different, but still could be appreciated by other people, right? Then you think about Tina Turner, also had an album that year as well. Tina Turner was considered rock and roll. So it's just categorizing. They have forced us to push everything in a box.
Yeah.
And I would love to have Drake as pop, just like Post Malone. Most people aren't having these conversations that Post Malone is in the conversation with what hip hop is or what rap is to the average person. Like, nah, Post Malone, he's pop. And that's where it should stay. Same thing with your Young Thugs, the guy you like, what's his
Travis
name?
Travis Scott.
I actually think Travis Scott should stay in rap.
Okay.
Travis Scott is rap, and he should be the king of rap. Drake should be king of pop. But I'm thinking of what's the young man that that went to college with the beads in his hair. Forgive my age, people. Not Kodak Black.
Give me a song.
Lil Yachty. Sorry, Lil Yachty.
Lil Yachty.
That's rap. Kodak Black. That's rap.
Even though he just dropped an alternative album, but yes, continue.
And there you go. And he should be able to have that freedom.
Yeah.
But when you're talking about hip hop is very narrow in what it should have in it. And if it doesn't, if hip hop doesn't have something that's positive in it in some way, I think it then turns into a rap era.
But hip hop is bigger than the music, though.
But
hip
hop
is more than music.
So, and to that point, Kev, you're very right. But B-Wise ended on a note that I feel like is lost, because a lot of people are in an uproar currently because I guess they're taking this quote unquote jab, which isn't actually a jab. He did go into explaining further that Drake is shopping at Target Music, which is hilarious. But a lot of people feel as though calling Drake not hip hop or non hip hop is like saying he can't rap. And I think what people need to realize is that there's a difference between rapping, rhyming, and hip hop in and of itself. Like, my introduction to the understanding of hip hop wasn't Jay-Z. It was Dead Prez, Let's Get Free. It was Mos Def, Black on Both Sides. Mm-hmm. And it was KRS-One. I knew that hip hop meant that the music spoke to something real, something mm-hmm. empowering. And that's mm-hmm. my understanding of what hip hop is.
Yes.
And it's unique for me because there was a time where we distinctly classified trap music as trap music. And I think mm-hmm. people get lost in the genres of Apple Music and Spotify, whereas though Chief Keef or Gucci Mane would be rap slash hip hop. When if you go back to Gucci Mane's first album, still to this date on Apple Music and Spotify, it's considered Dirty South. So I think we get lost in the overarching genres of music or subgenres. And we don't truly understand that there is a delineation between just rap and hip hop and what pop is. And I do think that it's also unfair that categorically Drake isn't put in the pop spectrum. And I don't know if that's by Drake's doing or by the quote unquote gatekeepers, but I just think that people should understand that delineation. And I don't think that it's hard to explain, but I think just a lot of people think hip hop just means rap, and those two things are not the same. So, go ahead.
No, I'm with you. I'm with you on that. The hard part of this is that we've allowed the industry, the business part of it, to dictate what we feel about, the way we feel about this thing we call hip hop.
So instead clarify the we.
Go ahead.
Clarify the we.
We as the audience. So
okay.
Again, us, our panel here, we understand and delineate the difference. We understand that. But in general, the general audience does not make a difference between Sexy Red and Yasin Bey.
Facts. Because the question becomes, for most, if Drake isn't hip hop, who is hip hop today? Because people say that, oh, Drake just rapped over a Conductor Williams beat. How is he not hip hop? Because he ain't talking about shit.
That's right.
Like, you know what I'm saying? versus if you put J. Cole or Kendrick on the same beat, it's the subject matter is drastically different. So I think
I don't necessarily think when the discussion is Drake, mm-hmm. I think it's, is he's rapping or is he singing? And that's where people, like, you know, that's that line with him. Just like with Lauryn Hill and Missy Elliott, when Billboard did the best rap albums of all time, they had Miss Education and Miss E in the top 10 when the majority of both of those albums was singing. Why are they in these rap in this rap category?
Or, now, or they don't would get be me classified wrong. As what melodic is today in combination between
which the two. Right. So, I mean, you know, those two albums don't get the credit that they should get for help transitioning, you know, rap where it's at now. But I don't think that we should keep saying, my personal opinion, we shouldn't say rap slash hip hop because, like, there are two different things. And it's just like BY said now, and it's like he always says, you know, the machine or the corporations, you know, they're doing, they're not doing the music genre. They're not doing this genre any good because its roots is gone. Because we like I just said, we had a hip hop 50, and I mean, you know, we talked. You know, you had the thing with Marley Marr, and you know, no one, like, you know, so many people in the audience had no idea who he was.
Yeah. Exactly.
Or even Kool Herc. That was like the majority of the people who sat in that audience when they was, you know, giving Kool Herc love. That was their first time ever seeing this man. And I'm going to bet you a bunch of people thought he had passed on. Mm. No, he's still here. So it's like, you know, I'll say this. Now, some of the legends have been gatekeepers.
Yep.
You could say it's a bad thing or you could say it's something else. But I think it was a sense of at some point that where some of the forefathers or the legends, they felt the type of way about where the genre went to, and that's quite understandable. But at the same time, you have to understand that, you know, sometimes things are bigger than who you are. So, you know, just like, you know, if you look at the NFL and you can see players that made $10 million for their whole career and they're in the Hall of Fame, as opposed to this player who made, you know, what you made in your career, they make it in three games. You know what I mean? It's like, what, you gonna hate on that player because he made you know what I'm saying? He did something you could never get to. And you know, I'm always staying on this point that, just like B Wise was saying, you know, the people are not dictating what's going on. And it was crazy because, you know, we're talking about this, but then, like, the other day a clip had popped up. I'm on Instagram, this clip had popped up, and it was DMC on Drink Champs, and he was comparing rap to go-go, you know, how the go-go music scene is in DC. And he was saying, like, he said rap should have adapted what DC did with go-go. He said DC never let go-go, you know, be taken over by bigger entities, and it's still theirs. And you know, we here in DC, we have this debate about, should go-go be nationwide? Should we keep it as ours? What should we do with it? But to see someone else from out of our area say that they did the right thing by keeping it. And, you know, he was like, you know, he said, we'll go all over the world, sold out shows everywhere. He said, but when you hit DC, we're not the headliner. Biggest artist in the world, but you ain't the headliner in DC. And that's like a testament. It's like, you know, what would have rap had been?
You pause him.
Hello.
So, yep, here we go. You're back.
I went out. What would have rap been if the people would have kept it, if we didn't let, you know, corporate America take things over? Now, I don't think it would have been as big as it is now, but at the same time, I think that it would have been more pure than it is now. We still would have had the Sexy Reds and the Two Live Crews and the Sukianas and all that, but it wouldn't have been those artists wouldn't have been in the forefront. You know what I mean?
Well, like, I don't think we would have had the Sukianas and
Sexy. We would have. Like,
yeah, we definitely would have.
Think about the late 90s and the early 2000s on what was that?
Okay, what was that BET show?
Remember that BET video show? With Nelly. Like, and with the Nelly and
BET Uncut
came it came on after 12, and it shows some of
that's true, that's some true.
Crazy ass stuff. We still had it,
but they wouldn't be as popular.
That's what I'm saying.
I mean, who's to say it wouldn't be popular though, guys? Who's to say that?
Oh, you're right.
What the issue? Here's the thing you got to think about. Would we still be saying that Mos Def, that Talib Kweli, that Lil Brother, and Slum Village, those groups are literally what's holding hip hop together, and they're the old guys. Where are the young Lil Brothers? Where's the young Mos Def? So you see what I'm saying? That's what we're losing.
But
it's not about losing Sexy Red though. It's not about losing Sexy Red.
You're right. But relative to the times though, you do have those guys.
Who are they?
Hold on, let me say this though. Are they relevant?
Let me say that. Who are they? Are they relevant?
Kendrick Lamar drops an album tomorrow and it goes number one.
No. See, again, and I love when you do that because I appreciate you showing your love to J. Cole and Kendrick Lamar. But again, we're talking about two other artists. I can name a crew. The Native Tongues are all in their 50s, right?
But at the same time,
who's taking up the mantle for them? That's all I'm saying.
I don't think you understand though. But I think that, you know, with today's time and what's going on in society today,
yeah,
I think that the level that you're looking for, you're not going to get. I think it's not lucrative.
Yes, it's not.
I can't
lucrative.
Say that though. But
no,
I,
no,
but you can, I don't
it,
think you
it's
can
not
say that,
lucrative,
though.
And that culturally, it's not quote unquote mainstream. It's not the status quo culturally, but it is also not something that generates the highest amount of income. So
the reality is,
because this was mentioned in the interview as well, is that there is hip hop, what this music is, and there is entertainment. And when you ask yourself what sells, entertainment, hip hop became what it is and derived into all of these other versions of music because people found it entertaining. And so Nowadays they know that we can give you this degenerative music that's going to keep you in the club buying overpriced alcohol and paying a premium just to sit down somewhere because this music is entertaining for the setting of what you call cultural engagement. So I would say that what leads today is what is entertainment. And even to the extent of drama, a beef record would go platinum before a record randomly, you know, about positivity. If J. Cole, Drake, Kendrick Lamar dropped a diss song, it would be played around the world before they just dropped a general song about whatever. So entertainment at the end of the day is the king of the current industry.
Be Wise, let me ask you this. What was the main content behind Run DMC's music? What was their main message?
So they had a two-level approach the way they did rap. There was, the origins of rap was braggadocious.
I'm asking about Run DMC.
So Run DMC was a certain level of braggadocious, but with a certain level of consciousness, because they did talk about current things that were going on. You know, Sucker MCs was more about your braggadocious, but it's like that. That was about current times, and that's just how it is. You know, if you think about the song, it's like that. and that's the way it is. And they would give you a scenario of what was going on in society at that point. And they did that throughout all their albums up to King of Rock.
And just like you just said, Braggadocious and Subconscious.
Right? Yeah. Yep.
And they were able to be one of the biggest groups, all genres of music.
Yep.
Out there at that time. So it is profitable. They were the first, they might have been the first musical artist with a tennis shoe deal. Genres of music.
They are.
They set that trend that it was something that only athletes was getting at the time. The first musical artists were Run DMC. And just like you said, positive music, but at the same time, the rap to show that skill. So to say that, you know, a Talib Kweli or a Common or whoever else couldn't be profitable, I don't know about that, because look what DMC did.
I think it's also in proximity to a certain group of individuals who are willing to buy into the market of that particular artist.
I mean, today.
I think even in general, though, like even when we talk about how the Beastie Boys ate off of Run DMC's success, and I believe I'm just saying, like the market that generates an income, right? The minute the minute that another cultural group outside of Black people buy into a certain version of music, it now becomes something we need to market on a higher level, right?
That's true, and
this is the difference between a Post Malone success and a Young Thug success.
Let me jump in real quick,
and just say that I need y'all to understand that the commercial success of what Diddy and Birdman was able to do in the early 2000s is literally what has dictated where music has gone to. They figured out a way to make hip hop commercial. And when I mean commercial, I'm not talking about what they were saying on rhymes, but the overall. So video was king, right? And the way they produced videos was to make it commercial. They wanted everything at that point to become a consumer style. So when you're talking about what we're looking at today, it's all about consumerism. So I need you to just keep that in mind, and I'll let you guys take it back over. But the record companies, they're in conglomeration with other Fortune 500 companies. Like, all right, we're going to make our money. You're going to make your money. Little brother is not going to talk about something that's going to make them money, right? Mos Def is not talking about stuff that's going to make them money. Bahamadi is not going to talk about stuff that's going to make them money. Make them money, when I'm saying that, is purely based on, it goes back to the basis of bling bling. That's
I think that falls on the crux of the conversation, being there is hip hop and there is rap and the element of entertainment. And hip hop isn't so concerned with the nature of consumerism, with the nature of giving you something that you can just consume to build on these various markets and brands. Yes. Hip hop is concerned with, this is the art, and this is something to appreciate from that perspective, but then also having some substance to it. Right. I mean, you go back to talking about the Curtis Mayfields, the Marvin Gayes, and the type of music that was made at a certain time versus this linear spectrum of just love music that really didn't talk about anything. And when we talk about like 80s, 90s, 70s. So it's just it is something to, I guess, when we talk about the state of hip hop today, to be analyzed. Like it's. Where is the music that is not so much about giving me this consumer packaged product? Like,
I mean, like, you know, we still not that far away from the pandemic and the shutdowns and everything. But during that time, you had so many people, you know, leaving out their houses, going to these marches and these protests and everything like that. And I know for me, I'm sitting at home, you know, and I'm wondering why no one is stepping up creating the new anthems. It's like sitting there watching this stuff. I'm hearing Fight the Power. That's a 20-year-old anthem. I mean, like the only anthem that, you know, that was more current was We're Gonna Be All Right, Kendrick Lamar. But that was even an old song at that time.
Yeah.
Like no one stepped up. That was a prime time for a group or an individual to step up to say, here's what's going on. Let me get an up-tempo beat and talk about it. And I think it would have been a hit because you had protests every single day. Nobody wasn't going to work. Nobody wasn't going to school. We were stuck in the house.
Yes, but again, you got to remember the independent market has been losing as far as streaming, not touring, but streaming for a long time. So when people
But the independent market never made money off sales though.
I'm with you, but let me finish this part. They weren't able to, so your artists that have been surviving that are independent, they weren't able to. So streaming became king. And those streaming efforts, like your Tsukiyama's, like your Sexy Reds, even though that's happening right now, those artists were still able to make music. And the record companies were like, oh, awesome. Let's keep pushing their stuff out and flood the airways with them. And that's what happened. If you look at the number of negative music that came out during the pandemic, it really pushed the market wide open to where we're at a point now where there's so many lils and there's so many other things out there, you know.
I'm not gonna disagree with that though, but what I'm just saying is that you had an opportunity where you wasn't really making no money to create some income.
Yeah.
You could have set yourself apart. Not to say you would have typecast yourself in this field, but you could have did something. I think that I personally feel like it could have started a new trend because.
I definitely get where you're going with that, kid. And so, but taking all that we've talked about so far, right, from the aspect of, you know, we talked about these greatest beats of all time. We talked about this producer to rapper ratio and then this element of this current state of hip hop and what is hip hop versus rap versus entertainment. And, you know, I try to understand today in music today and why certain music is appreciated. You know, I've looked at we've all looked at these, you know, best albums of 2023, you know, and even, you know, I guess that's the same momentum that we're carrying into 2024. And, you know, I ask a lot of the youth and certain people, like, what makes certain tracks good? And they're like, man, it just vibes. It's just giving you a vibe. It just sounds good. It's just, I don't really care what they're saying, but when I play it in my song, when I play it in my car, or when I play it at a kickback, it just sets the vibe for us. And I get that music is entertaining and it has its purpose in certain elements, but does that not hurt the culture of music, or is that just what music is, or is that, I guess, small for music? You know, let me ask this then.
Do you think, let me ask you guys, do you think it's bigger than music itself?
The conglomerations are bigger than music.
No, I don't mean like, I mean like, do you think society's, the role of today's society affect so many different things? It like a trickle-down effect on so many different, like music and fashion and, you know, everyday life.
It's definitely.
So you guys are looking at this a little wrong. You guys are looking at this as society, as the top piece. and society's not the top piece. That's not who controls the music you hear on your phone. The people who control the music on your phone are multi-conglomerate international companies.
I get what you're saying, though, but at the same time, it's like the society today is not even close to what it was 6-7 years ago, which wasn't that long ago. Like,
exactly.
Our time, you know, we got short time spans about as far as how we want our information, how we get our information, how we digest our information. I just watching my kids walk around the house and they don't talk on the phone. They're looking at the phone. You know what I mean? They got the headphones on, but they're looking at the phone. They got to video this person that they're talking to. I'm like,
yes.
Put the damn phone down before you walk into a wall or something. But that's just the way society is now. So it's like, even people driving on video, like, you can't look at the phone and look at the road at the same time. But even, you know, you got men that don't want to be men, women that don't want to be women, people who don't want to be who want to be in the middle. And I mean, like, society today is all over the place. But
you have to question who is dictating why society is where it is. I assure you that it is not being dictated by society, because if society had an opportunity to put their two cent in, and that it wasn't because of commercialism, and that the free market is everything. The free market in this world we're living in today is everything. If it don't make money, it don't make sense. Whereas in the 90s and the 80s, 90s, and early 2000s, when it was ours, right? We dictated that we wanted music to make us feel a certain way. Then we allowed them to, again, I take it back to Birdman and Diddy. They were able to make music that sparked a certain emotion, right? And we just let them run with it without allowing ourselves to say, hey, we also need to be fed these certain things. Because when De La Soul, when A Tribe Called Quest, when Talik, when Black Star, when Black Moon, when Brand Nubian, those groups didn't die out because they weren't selling records. They still tour to this day and make good money. That music died out because they were not able to get re-signed by major labels. And at that point, they didn't understand independent music. So you have to remember that when we're talking about the what we're listening to today, it's really based on the fact that the record companies found something that sells, and we're going to push what sells because it also sells for us, but it also sells for our friends. And when you're talking about major conglomerates, all these CEOs are very close. And they work within a networking system where they're going to work with each other to make each other more money.
So I agree with that. I agree with all that. And I think that, you know, I do think that the people should be in control of rap or hip hop or whatever you want to call it. But I think overall, it's, you know, me and you, it can't be us, because, you know, we've been there, done that, and, you know, it's at a place now that we barely understand what's going on. Like you just said, it's so many Lord this and Lord that. Every time you look up, it's a Lord something, and then you listen to their music. I mean, like, you can listen to three different artists, and it feels like a run-on sentence, you know?
Exactly.
And, you know, but to, you know, someone, you know, 30 years younger than me, they'll tell you, you know, it doesn't sound the same. And they might be lying. They might be telling the truth. It could be their opinion. But that's just where we're at now. So it's going to have to take, you know, someone like a Kendrick to kind of toe that line. You know, he's out of the box now, but so he got to get. I think, and for him, I'm nothing against J. Cole, but J. Cole makes music that I think is relating, is more relatable to the today's time than Kendrick does. But I think Kendrick is a bigger star than J. Cole.
I can agree with that.
I know you disagree because you're a big Kendrick fan.
I said I can agree with that.
I'm JB face, though. He's a bigger Kendrick fan than J. Cole, and he's going to say that. But I'm telling you, if you look at
Preston, are you talking about JB or are you talking about me?
I'm talking about JB. Is it not a deep, dark, depressing album? Yes or no? Yes
Mr.
or no?
Mr. Morale and the Big Steppers?
Yes. Yes or no?
It is not deep, a deep, dark. It is not a deep, dark, depressing album.
It's not a deep, dark, depressing album.
I think I think we are in deep, dark, depressing times.
No, that's not what I asked you. Is the album deep, dark, and depressing? Yes or no?
No.
How you going to say that we're in deep, dark, depressing times and that album, which you quoted as saying, is talking about what's going on today, is not deep, dark, and depressing?
Okay. But my point in all of this is you made a statement that was Kendrick Lamar is less
relatable. Okay. Hold this. Before you answer that, give me your definition of what type of album Mr. Morale is.
It is... an omniscious.
Oh hyper... Lord! Don't give me these big ass words. So much simplify for the people.
Hyper.
Simplify for the people. Simplify for the people. Truth. Come on, man. Just look. It ain't nothing wrong with it being deep, dark, and depressing. It's nothing wrong with that.
I think.
It's... Come on, JB. You the one brought this topic up.
It's nothing wrong with that. Listen,
I don't think it's depressing to talk about trauma. Is it depressing to talk about trauma?
Why? Just to say yes.
Lead to more trauma if you talk about trauma? Yes.
It's a deep, dark, depressing album. Just say it is. There's nothing wrong with that.
It is a deep album.
A dark album.
It's a deep album. I would say it's gray. It's a deep album about depressive times.
Okay.
and then Kevin, I would say to you, there has been no time in American history better than what we're in today.
As far as what?
As far as everything. As far as freedoms, as far as ethnicities.
I disagree with that.
What's a better time?
I think this is the worst society has ever been in.
Now, I didn't say all of society. I said ethnicities. There's never been a time when corporations had to consider discrimination and exclusivity.
And that still don't mean nothing.
But again, I know people say that.
It don't mean
nothing. But there was a period of time.
Look at the Harvard president.
I know. I get that diversity and inclusion. I need y'all to understand that 10 years ago, that wasn't even a conversation.
Listen,
it wasn't a conversation. At least now it's a conversation. So that means there's been some level of growth between then and now.
No, I wouldn't say that there's a level of growth, more so that the plan is more divisive. Like understanding that black faces in high places only give us the illusion of inclusion. I don't think that things have changed in terms of the improvement of the conditions of individuals, but I do think that while the dollar today is worth more than the dollar yesterday, you know, the middle class now and middle class then, you know, are two very different things. But I do think that the fact that that in society, people are still dealing with the same relative issues from, you know, wealth disparities, career disparities, educational disparities. We're still dealing with very real and heavy problems today in this country that have yet to be addressed. And to say that we're doing better, yet racism, white supremacy still dictates the comfortability of Black people's lives, is to then ask the question, well, how much better has it really gotten if we still have to deal with these things?
I was just going to say, I agree with everything both of you guys are saying, but you guys are weighing your thought process on that middle. So the way most countries weigh progress, right, is how many more people you're making richer and how many more people you're bringing out of poverty. And I know it doesn't sound good, right? I know it sounds terrible, but I grew up in poverty, right? In poverty in the 70s, a black and white TV, even though there was color TV available, was poverty. In 2023, poverty is you only have two flat screen TVs. Do you see what I'm saying?
I get it, but at the end of the day, while $40,000 might be the median family income today, and maybe $15,000 was the median family income 20 years ago, capitalism is still within the equation. And based on the market today, you have to make more Black billionaires in order to give hope or to give buy-in in this industry to a population of Black people.
Exactly. The free market, baby. You got it. You got it, JB. You got it.
I mean, but I don't know. I don't think, I'll be honest with you, I don't think the youth of today could handle the things we went through in the 80s and the 70s and the 60s or things like that.
I don't think the times are so good that they can't deal with the hard times you and I grew up with.
I don't even think we know how to deal with the things today.
But that's what I'm
saying. That's what I'm saying.
But I think my point is this. I'm a person that I don't get, you ain't got to like me. You ain't got to be my friend. But if you tell me your thoughts and your feelings towards me, I'll respect you. Mm-hmm. And I think that, you know, I'll give an example. I was talking to some young people a couple weeks back, and similar conversation. And, you know, I told them, I was like, you know, when I was coming up, my goal wasn't to go to college. My first goal was to make it to 18 years old, because every day on the news, they told me that Black men would not reach the age of 18. And if a Black man made it to the age of 18, he'd be dead in jail by the age of 21. So my first two goals in life was to make it to 18, make it to 21. That was it, because society kept telling me I wasn't going to make it. I was going to be a statistic, and I was going to be, you know, something terrible. And for me, it helped me understand life more. It sucks to say, but you know, kids in the 80s and the early 90s had to grow up a lot faster than they should have, you know, progressed in life. But at the same time, we developed this understanding of what life really is, as opposed to these dreams of, you know, oh, I'll just go to college and I can get a job. Okay, you went to college and now you got $200,000 in student loan debt, and you've been working this $40,000 a year job for 6 years now. What does your college degree do for you? And I'm not saying that's everybody, but it's enough people who've gone to college, got their degrees, and not even, I mean, what, at one time they said the majority of college graduates didn't even get into the field that they went to school for. What sense does that make?
Yeah.
But, you know, I think like now, it's, I don't think the truth is out in the open as it was 15, 20 years ago. I think the truth is hidden a lot. I think a lot of truth is hidden.
I disagree. I think the truth is in more plain sight now than ever. I mean, listen to me. We have social media. Everything is at an instant for us nowadays. I think where things become diluted is where people get lost in the sauce. Like it's real information at the touch of a Google search, but you're gonna take it's real information at the touch of a Google search for you to actually read and get a primary source, but you're gonna take the perspective of this TikToker who's explaining this event to you, who is right. In most cases probably only talking about it from their own perspective, mm-hmm. and they probably didn't read the whole article themselves, which is why we're having a whole conversation, or we had a whole conversation today about this mass uproar of of Mos Def saying something about Drake, when if most people just did their research on what hip hop was, understood that, and knew who Mos Def actually was, they would shut the F up, because they would know this guy can actually rap, and he ain't somebody you should be saying Drake is better than if you really knew what hip hop was. So I just feel like, you know, so many people in nowadays feel like if 10 people agree with me, I'm right, even though there's this one professional who specializes in this that can tell you you're absolutely wrong. So the truth is more wide today than ever. It's just
I'm gonna say this.
Listen, back then you had to read a book. You had to talk to your grandma. You had to have connections back then. Now everybody is connected.
I'm gonna take your point. The point you made, an excellent point, and I agree with you. And I think that your point, as opposed to a lot of people, is correct. But I will also say that today the information comes, everything that comes easy. Be cautious of it. You know, you got to work to get to this point, or you got to do a little bit more to get to this point. Like, I mean, like, literally people are plagiarizing, you know, papers off the internet. Like, they get, everything has to be, everybody wants the information so fast. Nobody wants to, like you just said, read a book. Nobody ain't trying to read a book. Just like you said, they're going to go to Google. They're going to type in certain search terms. And if something sounds right to them, they're going to go with that, instead of reading a book. And when you get to the end of that book, look at the references that author put in that book, and then go to those references and read those references to see, you know, if everything is consistent.
But you don't get a lot of that today. Well, so I think that the reason why you don't get a lot of that today is because, and this is no knock to anyone here, is you got people doing research papers who don't know how to do research. And one of the first things you learn, you know, as a college educated individual, or even a high school educated individual, is how to do that. I just think that not enough people today adhere to primary education. Like, most people learn from the internet and their favorite influencer than they would from real teachers. Like,
I don't mean to cut you off, but that goes back to the point I made when BY said his point. I say I think it's worse than before. And I feel like you're agreeing with me, because
there's a dilution. But when you say that, you know, when you mention that it's harder to find the truth, I get what you're saying, but at the same time, although it's harder to find it, it's also easier. But it's only meant for the eyes of those who are able to see.
Okay.
And I'm in agreement with you guys, fellas. And I think that the state of hip hop can be better, but it's going to take everybody to make it better, if that makes any sense. And as long as you and I and all of us on this platform are out here doing what we do, and we're connecting and networking with people, and we're passing on our thought process, we're keeping the conversations open, we can get back to a place where there is progress. I know JB has a lot of outlook for this year because we got Rhapsody coming. We got probably J. Cole coming. We have artists coming. So the issue, and I'll leave it at this and we'll get out of here, is if you remember back in time, long, long time ago, when people didn't make an album every 3 months or people didn't make an EP every 6 weeks,
had to appreciate
that art took time. Yeah. Art actually takes time. So again, that's what bothers me about us putting Amigos and other people, Young Thug and Future on these platforms. Like, oh, they're doing it, man. They're making music constantly. But is it art or is it just they're making music to put on streaming to keep the streams going? And again, that's no knock on these artists. But is it what's necessary to keep what we're calling hip-hop moving forward? And with that, I'm going to let the fellas give their outros, and we're going to get out of here. Kev, take us out.
I think tonight was a very, very interesting, very spirited debate, as always. I hope the people, you know, you got something from it. If you disagree with anything anyone said, great. You know, we all, you know, we're not going to agree on everything. And I think that, you know, the work, you know, where does the work start? I think that should be the starting point as far as these conversations goes, is to see what kid we do next. Because, you know, I think, you know, we all love this genre of music. We all appreciate the culture surrounding this genre of music. And I think that, you know, for someone like myself, you know, over the age of 40, I would hate to see that. I would hate to see it lost, you know. And I feel like year after year after year, just the spirit of things is just, we're losing so much of it. And, you know, it's just like, what do you guys need from us to kind of help, you know, to bring it back up, to get it back to where, you know, a Future or Young Thug is not, you know, these prominent guys. It's, we're not saying anything is wrong with them, but, you know, the kids listen to it and the kids get influenced, and that's nothing they need to be really hooked on. But, you know, it's okay. You know, you want to make the music for a certain audience, not for, make the music for everybody. And I think that's one of the points that, you know, JB said it a lot. You know, if you want to get it, it's not a problem getting it. And I don't know. I think that's where the conversation is at. What can we do to build it back up?
Yeah. All right. That's what's up. JB?
Yeah, man. So, really great show, touched on a lot of points. It's a lot of information here, man. I just, you know, listen to it with a clear mind, objectively. Take from it what you can. It's not the messengers. It's the message at the end of the day. And while we all come from different perspectives and we all have our own opinions, it's something we can learn from one another. And just to understand the perspective, man, we come from a perspective of cultural curators and providing a level of intellect and analysis to the topic of not only Black culture, not only music, but, you know, who we are as a people as a whole. So, you know, I really feel as though that the perspective we provide is very different from what you'd get in a spectrum of individuals who are just trying to keep up with the entertainment and not truly an analyzing what is and not keeping up with the machine. I feel is where we come from. So another great episode of Mixed Air Rap Podcast, and we'll see you soon.
All right, just want to say a couple things. If you haven't checked it out, please check Scarface's Tiny Desk out. It is amazing, probably the best one of all time. Also, you can follow us on social media at Twitter, Mixed Air Rap Podcast, and then you can check us out on Instagram at Mixed Era Rap Pod, and we are now on TikTok. Check us out at Mix Era Rap Podcast. We appreciate you. We out of here. Peace.